Psalm 51:6. Behold, you desire truth in the inner parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Psalm 51:6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Psalm 51:6. Song of Solomon 2:4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Song of Solomon 2:4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and in his banner over me was love. Psalm 2:4. I'm a little confused here because I want to be sure that Michael has my mic on. Are we okay, Mike? Very good. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope, for he who promises is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Luke 12:37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Luke 12:37. Blessed are those whose servants, when the master, when he comes, will find watching. Luke 12:37. Romans 12:15. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Romans 12:15. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. The subject of our session now is the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the fact that we are the recipients of the magnificent blessings that we enjoy every day because of what our Heavenly Father has done for us. And we're thankful for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. We're thankful indeed that you have blessed us all so richly. Bless us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking again at our verse today, which is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. We see that verse on the screen now. It says, which power the Holy Spirit had been operational in Christ, having raised him out from the dead and having seated him at the right hand of him in the heavens. A beautiful passage of Scripture. We've analyzed it in the previous session. We look at it briefly again today, and that is to notice that we see the power of the Holy Spirit operational in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, having raised him out from the dead and having seated him at the Father's right hand. Most of us have thought about this, I'm sure, many times, and that is when Jesus Christ came to the earth, he came as the God-man. We find some interesting scriptures, and it reveals the fact that Mary was surprised, of course, and God, the Holy Spirit, gave comfort to her, letting her know that the conception was by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who, of integrity and kindness, not willing to make her a public example. All of this we understand and we realize how fantastic is the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is God incarnate, God in the flesh. This is the Savior who went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. And so we're concerned about and interested in knowing some things about the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We spend a few moments today now analyzing this magnificent subject, the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 11, verse 25, we read these beautiful words. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. There are many things that we could say about the resurrection body of Jesus Christ, but we put this in a brief form today that will help us, I believe, in preparation for the observance of the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. The first point that we present to you is the Lord Jesus Christ retained nail scars in hand and feet. That's found in Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Jesus Christ retained nail scars in hands and feet. Luke 24, 39 says, Jesus speaking, "See my hands, see my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." We pause for a moment to let you see what is being said here in this magnificent verse, Luke 24, 39. I want you not only to see what it says, but I want you to see what it doesn't say. Many times when we read the Scripture, only what we're looking for is what we can see, and what we can see that is evident. But here we see some things that are not seen, not evident. And we look at it carefully, we will be able to see it. I read it again. "See my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." There's something missing here. One word that's missing here that you're not seeing here. There's a reason, I believe, for it not to be evident. Let me read it again, let you just think about it. Some of you probably already have concluded what I'm talking about. Some of you still are in wonderment, and that's okay. Jesus said, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." Number two, Jesus Christ was recognized by the disciples as the one who died and rose again. Remember, please, that Jesus Christ came forth out of the grave bodily, and he was recognized by the disciples as the one who died and rose again. When you go to Luke 24, 34, it says, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." The passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians is a magnificent passage indeed. We're not going to read it for lack of time here today, but I want you to put these verses down. 1 Corinthians 15, 5, 6, and 7. In John chapter 20, verses 11 through 17. This could be an assignment for our homework. Perhaps you are aware of the fact that there are many things that are said from the pulpit, and not all of the things that are said from the pulpit are given out in detail and explained. Some of it depends upon your Spirit-directed home study. Number two, recognize Jesus Christ, recognized by the disciples as the one who died and rose again. Luke 24, 34, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." Please put these verses down, 1 Corinthians 15, 5, 6, and 7, John 20, 11 through 17. Number three, what we discover that after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, as revealed in Luke 24, 42, could eat. Jesus Christ in resurrection body, revealed in Luke 24, 42, he could eat. The verse says, "And they gave him a piece of broiled fish." And verse 43 of Luke chapter 24 says, "He took it and ate it in their sight." All I'm trying to do is to show you some things about the resurrection body. Number two is recognized by the disciples as one who died and rose again. Number three, after the resurrection, he could eat, as revealed in Luke 24:42. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their sight. Number four, the resurrection body had flesh and bones, but no blood. You've already analyzed that and came to that conclusion by what I said at the beginning. The resurrection body had flesh and bones, but no blood. Luke 24:39-40 says, "And when he said this, he showed them his hands, and he showed them his feet." Number five, the resurrection body was a material construction and could be felt. The resurrection body was a material construction and could be felt. We find that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, which says, "And Jesus met them, greeted them. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him." John 20:17, Jesus said to Mary, "Mary, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Luke 24:39. I believe that we need to recapitulate for a few moments. The resurrection body was a material construction and could be touched and felt. Matthew 28:9. Jesus met them, greeted them. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. John 20:17, Jesus said to Mary, "Mary, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Luke 24:39. Number six, the resurrection body could breathe. In John chapter 20, verse 22, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Point seven, the resurrection body could walk through doors. This is revealed to us in John chapter 20, verse 19. "When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, Peace be with you." We're seeing some things today about the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We reiterate now, number seven, the resurrection body could walk through doors. John 20:19, "When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, Peace with you. Peace be with you." Number eight, the resurrection body could appear and disappear. This is revealed to us in Luke 24:17-25. The resurrection body could appear and disappear. I don't know what all this is doing for you. I'm trying to do this briefly, but let you see how fantastic it is to know about the resurrected Christ. I trust that all of you are able to see that Jesus Christ was willing to do this for you and for me. What's amazing to me is that when Jesus Christ came on the scene as a little tiny baby, over in the book of Hebrews, we discover that deity spoke. So we have in the incarnation, the body, we have deity, and we have humanity. And when you find that passage in the book of Hebrews, it simply says, without any question whatsoever, that on the deity side, deity spoke and said, you know what, Father, you've given to me a body. A body you've given to me. Most of us remember that that's a quote from the Isaiah passage, which emphasizes an unusual thing when it says that the ears were pierced. And there's the picture then, which we've heard many times, of the slave master and the slaves. When the slaves realized that their time could expire of them being with their master and they didn't want to leave their master, they would say in essence to the master, I don't want to leave, I want to stay. And the master would say, if you really mean this, for you and your family, for you to be able to let me know without doubt that you are sincere, that you do not want to be free, you want to remain as a member of my family, then you come over here against this pole and we're going to put a nail through your ear, pierce your ear. And that was a sign of identification. And so what the Lord is saying in the book of Hebrews, the body is the sign of identification. How beautiful, how magnificent this is. So the resurrection body could appear and disappear, as found in Luke 24:17-25. And then finally, number 9, the resurrection body could move vertically and horizontally. The resurrection body could move vertically and horizontally. Acts 1:9 says, after he had said these things, he went up. He was lifted up. While they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Are you following with me today how beautiful it is in these brief moments to see what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ? We've analyzed this situation many times. There came a point of time when Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, said, it is finished. As I've said many times from this pulpit, he did not say, I'm finished. He said, very much alive, it is finished. I firmly believe that when he said that, that's the completion of the plan of God for salvation, which is an emphasis upon the fact that God, through Jesus Christ, solved a spiritual problem with a spiritual solution. If you're listening attentively, you're seeing what I'm saying. It is finished. The plan of God for salvation is finished. Jesus Christ was willing to take care of a spiritual problem with a spiritual solution. And then the scripture says, at a point of time, he breathed out and didn't breathe in. The Greek says ek pneuma, not in pneuma. He ek pneuma, he breathed out and didn't breathe in, which simply reveals to us that Jesus Christ made the decision at the point of time for him not only to take care of a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem, but to take care of a physical solution to a physical problem. Not too many days ago, we stood by the side of the casket of my brother. Over the years, we have been standing by the side of many caskets of individuals who've left this life as believers have gone on to be with the Lord. I have a copy of the picture of my brother and the emphasis in relationship to the service that was held at his memorial service. When I looked at that body of one whom I've loved through the years, who was so very nice to me, and as I looked at that body, I was aware of the fact that my brother was not there. He was not there. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. What I was seeing as I looked at that body, I was aware of the fact that the soul and spirit had already moved out. And here was a body that was going to be a body decaying, deteriorating, diminishing over a period of time. Not so with my brother. Very much alive. The reason is because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall never really die. If you listen carefully to the message in the first session today, you were able to see that God prepares a new house for the soul. Are you listening? A new house for the soul. Think with me for a few seconds now. God gives a body for every stage of life. You're sitting in this auditorium today, and you, the real you, soul and spirit, is in a body. The real you and me is not the body, but the real you and me is the soul and the spirit. But God has given to you and me, for this period of time, a body. When a person leaves this life, that second stage that I want you to see is that God also gives another body for that interim time. We don't understand it all. We don't know about it all. But we conclude that there will be for that stage, for our loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord, God is not allowing them to be in oblivion. God is allowing them to have what we're calling an interim body. And then when the Lord comes, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us which remain in our lives shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. God's going to give us another body. This is known as a resurrected, glorified, spiritual, eternal body. There never will be a time in our lives and in eternity that we will not have a body to house the soul and the spirit. All because of this resurrected body. The resurrected body of Jesus Christ moved out of this land. And the scripture says in Acts 1:9, as he had talked to them, then he was lifted up while they were looking. A cloud received him out of their sight. Oh, my. I'm telling you, folks, we have a lot to look forward to, don't we? We really, really do. The question is asked, and I thought this was a good question. Why do we have a connection today between the Lord's Supper and our men in military uniform? And I want to share it with you, and I'm glad that the question arose. God has made it possible for us to have the freedom today to be able to observe the Lord's Supper. I promise you that if we didn't have that freedom, we wouldn't be able to do what we're now doing. So I'm thankful to God, and you are too, that these men who stand here today in military uniform represent the magnificent, joyous, wonderful, magnificent freedom that you and I have. Oh my, how should we be thankful for this freedom? And so my heart does me good today as these men dressed in military attire will be serving us. And I want you to think, it doesn't for one second diminish, but it magnifies and brings out far greater how fantastic it is that you and I are privileged to observe this Lord's table. I wanted to say that to you because I wanted you to see. I'm glad the question arose because I want you to see that there's such a beautiful, magnificent connection between what is represented by these military uniforms, the freedom. Men have fought, men and women have fought and have been willing to die for our freedom. Most of all, our freedom is because of what God has done. And we're thankful for that. Now, I wanted to preach another sermon there, but time's not going to permit. We're going to bow our heads. Our military men will come. We'll be ready to observe the Lord's table. Thank you, gentlemen. I read from the 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." In verse 28 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians says, "But let every individual examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." That's the reason why we spend a few moments in prayer before we observe the Lord's table. We realize that this is the most important time, and we need to be sure that we're in fellowship with our Lord as we observe the Lord's table. It says here, and I read, "Let each one examine himself, and so let him eat and partake of the bread and drink of the cup." These are silent moments to be sure that our hearts are in tune. And as we pray, Michael, would you lead us, please?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the honor and privilege it is to participate in the Lord's Supper today. It reminds us of the fellowship that we have with you.
Yeah.
Heaven and earth united through belief in your Son, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship that unites all believers together, united in our common love for your Son and for what he did on the cross.
Yes.
Please let this be just a pouring out of your grace on our lives and a reminder as we spend today and all the moments after reflecting on the gospel, the power it is in our lives to bring the dead to life, the power in our lives to live your way with strength and with hope and confidence.
Yes.
We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. The bread represents Christ, whose body was broken for us. Take and eat thereof. The Scripture reveals that in the same way He took the cup also after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We spend a moment now in thanksgiving for the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And MG, will you lead us, please?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to remember your death, burial, and most importantly, your resurrection, proving the sufficiency of your sacrifice.
Yes.
Help us in these moments to recall all we've learned today and in days past about what you've done for us, and let us celebrate it with you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Very good. We have not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. Remember today, as we take this cup, we remember His willingness to be our substitute. Take and drink thereof. It is our custom to sing. We're going to turn in our hymnal to 324, and Ian is going to come and lead us in When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. 324, may we stand as we sing, please. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, I stand firm, I count but loss, and for contempt on all them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Did e'er such love sorrow me, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a prayer far too small, of so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life. Thank you. You're dismissed. Thank you, gentlemen, for serving.